Welcome to this episode of the Live Your Full Potential podcast. So, welcome to this episode, Matt. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Mark, and welcome to this episode too.
Thank you, brother. This is the first episode that Matt and I have done together, where JP has empowered us to share our own episode. We're part of the JPDV team. My name is Mark Bryant, one of the master coaches here, and I'll hand you over to Matt and he can explain who he is.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm Matt Grady, also master coach, behind the scenes, doing many operational activities. Brief background for those who don't know, I was a golf professional for many years, played on a number of tours, moved into business about 10 years ago after starting a family, and over the last couple of years transitioned out of employment into the position that I'm now in with Mark, JP and the team at JPDV Performance. And what about you, Mark? Can you give us a bit of background for anybody that might not have
seen you previously? Spotlight you a little bit and just say that he is our coaching director and a great leader to work with. And I'm very grateful for having the opportunity to be your wingman on this journey along with JP too.
Likewise, Mark. Thanks, mate. Yeah, and I'm learning a lot from you all. Having spent a lot of time with you over the last year or so now, intensely as we're in the same time zone, your coaching style is something that I've never seen before and experienced, and it's really, really opened me up to a whole new paradigm of learning. So thank you for being one of my teachers as well, Mark.
Yeah, opened you up to a whole new paradigm of being, learning,
like wisdom. Awareness, I think, a level of awareness that I wasn't tapping into for a long time.
Yeah, powerful. So this podcast, we were discussing what's the best thread, what's the best theme, and I think Matt and I have both settled on the theme of this is something that's been coming up for us, is how do we map a process out to have to lay a path for others to follow in the process of personal development. For me, I've been in personal development, I'd say, from 2008. I took seven or eight years out from education, should we say, when I left university, and I thought I could work life out myself, and then stumbled into the process of personal development when I was introduced to some leadership and management training in North Wales, which then developed into neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, and then I learned about this big American guy called Tony Robbins, and I kind of fell in love with him as a mentor. So I was like, right, I've got to go on all of his programs. So I've been in the work, or what I call the work, for what is now 15 years.
Yeah. And some.
Yeah. So I'm really passionate about the subject, and joining forces with JP this year has allowed me to step into owning this as my career. And as opposed to being an entrepreneur, a managing director, a consultant, it's like I get to teach and share the wisdom that I've collected from my own work. And what I love about JP is he says that his teaching is his own life's work. So you don't need to do the work, you know? So I'm really excited to be here and see where this podcast episode will take us on a magical journey of conversation.
It's a really cool share, Mark, because I can say that personal development has been a big part of my life. I came into psychology and NLP in my late teen years when CDs were still a thing. And I was listening to a golf specific psychologist as well. I'll drop his name as soon as it comes back into my head. Carl Morris, Dr. Carl Morris. And I learned the first principles of NLP. But one of the things that was so powerful in the sport of golf that I was in was visualization and the process of bringing things to life through your thoughts. But actually, it wasn't until I left sport and got into business that I realized how powerful process was in developing the knowledge, the skills, the beliefs, the actions, the work to achieve the goals. And then actually, I went from somebody who was relatively unknown in the industry that I was working in to somebody that was working at a different level of process and operation than my competition, who hadn't had the benefit of worked and lived in sports. So I think we could, I'd love to bring some of that into today's conversation as well, and how we implement that on a daily basis.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a big subject, isn't it, personal development? And there's so many resources, so many books, so many audio, so many videos, so many courses. It's often slightly overwhelming as to where to start. But there is a thread.
There is a common thread.
Yeah.
And, it was when I was on a training program back in October with one of my mentors, Stephen Green, called the Elite Property Training Academy program. And what Steve was really powerfully explaining is that this is not rocket science. You know, some of this stuff has been around for thousands of years. And what happens is people repackage it into their own version. So then we become overwhelmed with which version to follow. Mm. But in essence, there is a relatively straightforward path, which I've used the acronym of PATH to help put the key jigsaw pieces together, you know, like, the power of visualization is the power of the mind, you know, and 120 years ago, Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich, which is the power of our mind can help us become wealthy, you know? Yes. And so, yeah, so I'd love. And the other thing about the process of personal development is what I love when I heard of this thing through Simon Sinek, which was the idea of an infinite game. And so the journey or the process of personal development is an infinite game, because at some level we're wanting to remove of what's not working, what's not serving us.
Yes.
And we want to grow and develop and learn and add in the stuff that will help us navigate the new path that we want to create. And sometimes when I say the onion layers we have to peel away, what I learned is that in some cases, the peeling the layers of the onion can be very challenging, mm-hmm. particularly if we've got energy that kind of is holding us back, you know, and some people that have a relatively clean emotional system that can find a way to continue to drive forward and achieve their high performance, mm-hmm. whereas other individuals have these emotional blocks, and I call it trauma, that is difficult to find the courage to go to the places that are the most uncomfortable. And that's what I love to kind of talk about. The work is the deeper work.
Yeah.
Because we can all try and recreate new neural pathways and try and, you know, step into our power. But if we held back by what is known in the psychological world is that our shadow energy, mm-hmm. you have to go there. And that's the tough stuff that most people won't and are not willing to do. You know, in the work of what are my values and sitting there and crystallizing it, knowing that our values are important, knowing that our goals are important. But if we don't sit down and reflect and meditate on what these things are and document these things and share these things yeah. with people within our network, that's the hard work, is this piece of work. So that's what I'm really passionate about, is helping people have the container and the space to be vulnerable so they can share some of that lower energy type blocks that are holding them back. So we can then find a way to release that energy, whether it's through breath work, trauma release work, yeah. coming on some deep
healing, perhaps.
Deep healing workshops. Yeah. It's almost hard to explain what these things are, what these processes are like, unless you've actually experienced it.
Very powerful. Three things have come up there for me, Mark. One is being childlike and how limitless children are in their learning and absorption, because they haven't, but some may have built up the trauma or the blockers to get there, which is not to say that people won't go through that, but if you can be more childlike, you can achieve more in the simplistic term, really, of being more playful and childlike. You can achieve a tremendous amount. And we often look at kids and think, well, how can they just do that? How can they just jump in the cold water? How can they just learn these languages so quick? Their mind is absorbing so much information, but they are completely fearless and limitless in their potential at such a young age, which is why it's so important to get them young. If anybody has kids who's listening, capture their spirit. Another book as well, something that came up was Jim Newman's book, Release the Brakes. Very powerful. I'll just leave that there for anyone to research. It took me months to get a hold of a copy of this book. I think they did a reprint, Release Your Brakes. Very powerful. Again, talking about the same themes as well. And then in the present tense, the healing work has been almost a little bit black market, bit underground for some time, but there's a huge insurgence of deep work. And the benefit of having you here as well, and JP, and me not so much, because I haven't done as much of this, is you've been through these programs, whether it's plant medicines, whether it's the deeper healing work, whether it's anger, regression, or, you know, correct me if I'm saying things wrong, but you've experienced these so that you can be a better version of yourself, so we can pass that knowledge on.
Absolutely. And, you know, as JP says, the journey back to the heart is sometimes the most challenging. And, you know, that's been my hardest journey, is that journey back to the heart. And it's really interesting how these things fall into alignment, because the last 2-3 months, you know, when somebody says, are you living in alignment? It's kind of like a feeling, isn't it? And so I feel really in alignment now, first time in a long time where, you know, I feel really empowered. And it's taken me years to find this, level of confidence, this level of certainty where I know I'm heading in the right direction and I'm so passionate about it. And so if anybody's out there listening to this thinking, oh my God, I just, you know, it feels like I'm just on this hamster wheel and I can't get off it. You know, trust that if you continue to research, to be open, be vulnerable, that, you know, and do the work.
Apply yourself.
And keep going. You know, it will come. It will come. And, you know, that's why I'm so passionate about what we do, is because we can help create the container for everyone to do that within our network.
Absolutely. No, really powerful. And so perhaps for the benefit of the listener today, we're talking about the process of personal development. Where does it start for you, Mark? So we've got this awareness of acquiring knowledge, on awareness that there is a bigger game. Where did it start for you? Where does it start for you? And perhaps we can put together the pieces of the puzzle so somebody could take
a path. We'll put the path together.
Let's do it.
I think what I love, having been an entrepreneur for 20 odd years and being in business masterminds, you know, rhythm is important, the drumbeat. You know, nature has a drumbeat, and it's so easy for us to get washed along by the river of life. So unless we create a drumbeat, and what I like is a 12-month period, like we might have a 3-5 year goal, but if there's a 12-month block, is that we've got quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, we've got month one, month two, month three, month four, all the way up to 12.
Yeah.
And so if we're not dialing in a time, the process of reflection. So at the beginning of this year, I sat there and created a vision statement for the same time in 12 months time.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here, I'm grateful for experiencing the goals that I've set myself. So it's kind of like future pacing and future visualizing what's going to happen. So the P, the path, the P stands for purpose. So, and the purpose has four key elements in it: vision, mission, values, and the inner voice. So the vision, you know, what we love to start on is people's values, is like point three in the process. And it's like, you can't, you know, you've got to start with values, and then we look at the mission, is what are the goals we're looking to achieve? And what's that vision that, by knowing our values, working on our mission, what's the vision that is going to create, you know? And the little voice is this, the brakes that kind of, the self-sabotaging energy, that kind of, it kind of prevents you from moving forward. It self-sabotages. It's like, well, you've just got to check in with that voice. And we've got an amazing tool that DP taught us, which is the 2020 vision, because you've got to continue to create the neural pathways that are moving us in the right direction. And for you, what I love about you is what I see is you've got a very clean system. And so therefore your ability to execute is on a level that I've never experienced before. And so that's kind of the inner voice. I asked you the question, have you ever had a moment where, you know, you had that inner voice, that inner critic, that itself doubt? You were like, no. I was like, wow, that's powerful. That is so powerful. It really resonated with me to allow me to find more of my own certainty, you know? So that's what I loved working with you at such a high level, which is amazing.
And if I don't derail you too much there on the path as well, I found that has been built through taking action, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. I always find out that everything's okay at the end. So no matter how much I might mess something up, as long as I'm moving forward, I feel like I'm progressing.
Yeah. So the process of personal development, vision is to put this process into a 12-month journal. So bringing the best of what JP is teaching, and it's one of the useful tools that we're going to use and within our mastermind. So there's this 12-month process where you have the opportunity. So my commitment to myself is to follow this process at the end of each month, at the end of each quarter, a deeper reflection, reflecting back to my goals. And the important thing about goals is making sure that we can quantify them, that we've got 3 to 5 top goals that we're working on. Like there would be one main thread. So for me, this is the year of health and wealth, but there's one main thread. And the more we can measure those aspects, and the better we become at setting ourselves goals, so we're building our comfort zone, because we're very good at setting stretch goals outside of our comfort zone. And then the little voice will hold us back and say, oh, I'm just going to give up. It's never going to work. Mm-hmm. So what to create that comfort zone? Because when I used to hear step out your comfort zone, I lived outside my comfort zone for years. And so I never quite understood this until I got into some of the deeper work, that I had to recreate my comfort zone in order that I had safety in order to then go and step outside my comfort zone. I'm really good at living outside my comfort zone, and for health that is not a good thing. So path, vision, mission, values,
and A
is for action, which you are action mastery. T is who the people you've got around you. And then H is to find that journey back to the heart and have fun when we're doing it, humor. So
is the T the true, the tribe? Is that what the T is? Tribe.
Team,
yeah. Tribe. Okay, wonderful.
So the process is you doing the work to set your intentions at the beginning of the year. And then you're constantly reflecting, reviewing, which is exactly what we do in each of our mastermind sessions.
Yes.
So it's just bringing some more structure to that process.
Yes.
And developing the discipline to achieve the freedom that we're all looking to achieve.
Yeah. You know? I think a lot of people come into this, Mark, as well, come into the personal development industry or space in their life and think that it's just going to happen through the thinking, the do it, and then some action. One of the elements that I'd like to bring into our coaching, I believe I do already to a granular, well, to a very top line level, is the detail and the analysis, which is a sport habit, but I don't often see it in many people. And I heard Chris, is it Chris Willinks, the podcast guy? He says the better you get at something, the rarer it becomes, the fewer people there are to share this journey with. So when you're in it, the value of community is extremely powerful in that you can share the journey on a level that other people can understand. Going back a step, the only way I have found to improve anything is forensic analysis, performance of activities, of actions. And you're very good at this as well, Mark. Exceptional, I should say, at a strategic business and your coaching as well. You might not blow your own trumpet, so I will for you. But I think it's an awareness of you're going to have to do the work, you're going to have to do the thinking, but you're going to have to deeply analyze how effective your actions are in order to adjust. Time to play.
Have the movie camera watching your every move.
Yeah. What would the camera say? What would the film play back to you?
Yeah.
The habit on a scorecard as a kid, and we do this slightly older on tour when you're looking at the course planner, missed fairway right, missed fairway left, short left green, short approach, missed putt left, missed putt right, pace. There's all this analysis going into how do I compute this performance?
Yeah, I think that's how we make a good team. A few years ago, we got a puzzle for the family. And it was a COVID thing, wasn't it? Get puzzles. And so we started it. And I've got a picture on my phone, which I thought was so amusing, because I built the outside edges and I didn't finish the bits of the jigsaw inside. So putting in the jigsaw pieces. And I've realized that my brain is very good at the vision and the strategy, and it takes me a lot of conscious effort and energy, emotional energy, to fill the bits in the middle. But it's like any muscle, like, you know, when you sit down to it, you know, your lists are amazing. That's how you like, done that. But yeah, that just makes me giggle when I'm like,
I'm sure Steve Jobs could fix any computer in his time, but he was the outside of the jigsaw guy, whilst Wozniak was putting the pieces together on the inside.
Yeah.
And they were perfect.
Yeah.
But Jobs was equally as good as Wozniak as a computer programmer, I imagine, but it wasn't his genius.
So if you listen to this, watch this space in the next, I'm going to make sure that you hold me accountable to this. So the job between us is in the next quarter two, is that by the end of this quarter, we need to have our Live 100 journal.
Complete. That's very exciting.
Okay.
Yeah, very exciting.
So I think if we can create that, and then our mastermind members can run it for the next 6 months, and then we can look at offering it out as a separate product that we could sell as an item to help you, help anybody that is looking to tap into the process of personal development. This is the scaffolding you need in order to build the scaffolding, the framework, the foundations, to allow you to then go and do some of the deeper work if you need to, or tap into even more of your greater potential.
Absolutely. Mark, just on the topic of the process of personal development, can you tell me about a time when you've not been working in alignment with your process and how you get back on track? For those who think, yeah, I know all this, I've got all the tools, I've read all the books, I've got all the personal development, but I'm still not achieving what I want to achieve. What's the first step that somebody needs to take to get back on track, in your opinion?
Come to one of our Becoming Non-Negotiable workshops and learn and clarify your values, because very often it's, you know, life, conditioning, our shadow energy. There's a great book called, it's by Robert Augustus Masters.
Which, is it Backbone? Is
that no,
the other one.
It's Robert Augustus Masters. I'll come back to it in a minute because I sent it to somebody today.
Yeah.
But it's about the shadow energy. And so if you think or feel you've got some of this archetypal energy that's holding you back. So essentially what the shadow energy is as children, we have generally the full expression of all our emotions, sadness, anger, happiness. And then at some point, some of this capacity, our capacity, we put in our background, because you shouldn't be angry. So we're like, oh God, if I'm angry, I feel guilty because that's a bad thing. So therefore, you know, it creates guilt and shame and some of that lower frequency energy within us. And, you know, just for an example, like I never did any psychotherapy. I just did personal development, growth work, looking into the future.
Yes.
That was, you know, the visionary, the CEO, the managing director. And when I had my first psychotherapy session in the health institute in America, this guy was like, why the hell don't you get angry? I was like, because I don't. Like, that's not welcome, is it? Like, why would I need to use anger or rage in my life? You know, that's not a welcome energy. And essentially, it's like I've just pushed some of these things down, like boys don't cry. So the capacity for me to access vulnerability was very, very challenging because I just swallowed my sadness. And so what was really interesting is my leukemia was called acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So at some level, I was holding on to so much, you know, so much emotion because I was trying to be put a brave face on for the world. And it was, that was one of the main contributing factors in I think my early onset of leukemia.
Would you say no release? I listened to release. Lymphoblastic. It's like the lymphs have no way of release. So it's blasting out anger within your body.
So when I first started getting into some of the deeper work where, you know, I started to recalibrate some of the emotions I had as a child, that at some level I had suppressed or hidden from the world, you know. And yeah, so the question you asked was, where would I start? And one of the things that has been very powerful for me this last 12 months since being with JP, is because I've done a lot of this work, when JP was like, live 100, it's all about your values, I was like, I kind of know this stuff already. Like, so cognitively, I knew this. But when I started to do the work, not just once, as in the first month I joined the mastermind, but the second month, it was like, what are my values? Am I living in alignment with them? And it's like, well, my values are what is important to me. And as I started to review and revisit what's important to me, I started to realize that, fucking, you know, I've not been living in alignment with who I want to be in this world. I was living a life through the lens of what I thought everybody else wanted me to be. So, yeah, so revisiting what's important to me has allowed me to recalibrate my deepest desires and my deepest desires for what I want to achieve in this world, not the desires that I feel that other people want me to achieve and who I think other people want me to be. So just, it's such a...
That was very powerful. It's a big, it's a big ask.
Yeah. It's like sitting down and reviewing this, not once and not putting it in the filing cabinet. It's like coming back to it again and again and again and refining my purpose, refining my vision, refining my goals based on what's important to me, not everyone else in this world that I was trying to keep happy. So
it's another thing that's been really powerful that I've seen through the work with you and JP and the community and on self-reflection as well. Yes, we talk about health as a top value. You get to the end of the month and you say, how well have I lived in alignment with my value, my top value of health, let's say, for example. If it's not 10, you're not serious enough about the value. And by putting it out there, what is it you said yesterday in the workshop about sharing something visually, how it's the highest form of accountability?
Highest form of visualization.
Highest form of visualization.
Or manifestation is public sharing. Yeah. So sharing things publicly.
Yeah, and you can do that in many ways, but when you put it out there and you say that health is your top value and you're not coming back a month later with 10, you're not serious enough about this value, or it shouldn't be there, or you really need to assess what you're doing on a daily basis, which made me realize that in order to live to a 10 on health, I have to look at this value every single day. And I'll be honest with the audience here, I don't. And there are many reasons why I don't. At the moment, we're in a hyper growth phase within our own business. There's huge change and growth, all positive. And it means I've had to make sacrifices. I'd love to get to the utopia where the values are lived every day. But actually, and if I'm honest with myself, there is no excuse. And there's only me to blame when I look in the mirror. So it's not an excuse. But it is a fact that I don't tend to my own values every day. And just by talking about it now with you publicly, and this will go live and it'll be there forever in the tinterweb, I need to do it. And one of the reasons I wrote the book as well, in the way that I wrote it, my book, is because I want to hold myself accountable to the standards that I set in that book. Because if anybody ever reads it and looks at me and say, Matt, how dare you? You know, you're out of shape. How can you say that that is one of your top values, or setup is, you know, foundational setup or process, when you're not reflecting that in your real life? So just a quick share there on that.
Yeah, I think the word that has always come up for me is compromise. Like, where am I compromising? Well, I have to make a conscious compromise.
Yeah.
You know, I was a full-time healing, you know, going from a terminal illness, I was healing full-time. So what does that look like? Is like juicing and wheatgrass and all these other daily activities to rebuild my immune system. And then you think, well, I've got to work. I can't. And I quite enjoyed that life. But then I have to, like, well, if I'm going to start work and there's like 6, 7, 8 hours a day and I can't do all these other things, how can I maintain a standard that I'm happy with? Because, you know, the standard I defined in relation to my health before was that of a recovery standard. But now I've got myself back to a level, I can adjust that standard, which in some areas I might see as a compromise, but it's a mindset jigsaw piece, you know? And that's the power of what I call review, prioritize, and schedule, RPS. So, and it's kind of one of the processes I consciously need to sit down and do, because I'm not the sort of person that will sit there and go, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna write a list of jobs today. You know, whereas you're like, I can't believe you don't do that.
Yeah, mate. But I'd say, and I'll share with the audience, you know, as obsessive as my list is, it was designed once about a year ago, and it's refined monthly. So I don't have to recreate it and waste any energy on it. But at some point, it was day one, creating the actions there. Mate, let me ask you a question. You asked me a question the other day. What does resilience mean to you? I thought it was really, and I instinctively answered with what, because I didn't want to think about it. I wanted to respond with what was in my heart and in my head at that moment. What does resilience mean to you, Mark?
Yeah, I think words carry so much potential, and bringing awareness to what words mean. And really, you know, do a Google search. Like, when I was going through my healing journey, I was like, what does health mean? Yeah. And it was just interesting. When COVID came about, we were asked to do some resilience and well-being training for local organizations here in North Wales when I was part of a fitness business. And I was like, how do I feel about resilience? Because when I said that, it didn't feel like a nice word. It was like, there was a negative connotation to it for some reason. So I went and trained as a master practitioner of resilience and well-being training. And over a period of time, I was like, this word is so powerful. Like, when I really started to break down what it means, what it looks like, what it feels like to me. And it's just interesting. Like, a few months ago, I spoke to one of my friends who's Arthur Anderson Consulting or PwC consultant, and they use the word resilience with a negative connotation. Like, you can come and work for us if you are resilient. And what that meant was you have to basically give your all, you know, 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. And if you can't deliver that, you're not resilient. So there was a negative connotation as to what resilience really meant for her. Because when I mentioned it, she was like, I hate the word resilience. I was like, oh, interesting. However, what I've begun to learn is that I've created a thing called the high performance pyramid, the peak performance pyramid. And at the top of high performance, at the top of the pyramid is high performance. And when we're looking at sort of the, like, how do we get our staff to operate at the highest level? One of the things that a lot of consultancy firms measure is engagement. So how engaged are our staff, you know? And so they used to use engagement as a level of performance of the team. So then I started to dig down a bit. And so what does engagement really mean? It's a measure of our resilience and well-being. So at the bottom of the pyramid is, if we can work on our well-being, and our well-being is a measure of not just our physical health, but our mental health and social health as well. So if we can, and so it, ultimately my definition of resilience was, is not just the ability to overcome challenge, it's our emotional capacity. So if we can measure resilience, it's a measure of our emotional capacity of stress. Okay, and if we don't have a high capacity for stress, then we're not necessarily resilient. So how do we redevelop the skill sets required to increase our emotional capacity to allow us to then tap into high levels of engagement and high levels of performance? So resilience is a measure of our health, and which is a measure of our physical, emotional, and social capacity.
So I would, man, that was awesome. The way I've seen resilience is being an ability to keep going no matter what the circumstances. But actually, I think looking a layer back, it's being in the situation that is extremely uncomfortable that requires you to build a system, the mental, physical, emotional tools to carry on going through it. However, if I'd never experienced the challenge, if I've never been in a stretch place, it's highly unlikely that I'll have any built-in resilience. So what are your thoughts on that in terms of encouraging people to work outside said comfort zone to build resilience? Or can you build resilience without ever being challenged?
I think just reflecting back from my own self is, I went from terminal to triathlon. So I was terminally ill, claim on life insurance, rebuilt my immune system, and then 5 years later, 6 years later, completed the Ironman in Ireland last year.
A challenge, you might say. I just grouped all those things together.
Yeah, but what I love about what you said is that the process of attainment or achievement is so important when you've operated at a high level. And this is why I think we get a lot of inspiration as leaders from high performance athletes in particular, because there is no other way other than doing the work required to achieve the result, whether that's mentally, physically, and, you know, socially as well. Yes. Like, you've got world-class coaches, you've got a world-class mindset, you've got the ability to keep going and follow, you know, doing the practice required to get in the top 2% of the world. You know, there's no shortcuts to that. You know, there is a bit of natural talent, but most people, it's to do with mindset. So for me, what I realized is that to become an Ironman, I had to be so much more disciplined than I ever have had to before.
Yes.
Because in the world of business and my energetic default, so to speak, it's quite a hectic, energy. And so, you know, constantly, and it was a very challenging sector because, you know, the government were changing the rules. And so we're always at the mercy of the government initiative. So we're constantly having to reinvent ourselves. So I lived a very chaotic 12 years when I left university.
Yeah.
And the Ironman helped me calibrate and develop a level of discipline that in reality I wish I'd had many years ago. Because when I was in a boarding school structure and a system, that system allowed me to have the discipline to follow the processes that they'd set out in the education system. Yeah. My wheels started to fall off a little bit when I left school, went to university, and then, you know, ultimately reached a bit of a breakdown in 2015 when I hit the wall with leukemia.
Yeah.
So I think the important thing is, you know, you need both. You need discipline. And we also need the flexibility. And in sort of the spiritual realm, we talk about masculine and feminine archetypal energy. And so, yeah, I've been very fluid in my life's creations. And the more structure I'm now creating as a result of the Ironman, working with JP, working with you, I'm being able to develop that skill set in my autonomic nervous system, so to speak, which will allow me to achieve more freedom in each of the areas of my life that I'm looking to achieve: health, wealth, happiness.
Amazing. Mate, as we draw to a close, we'll do this again and we'll continue to do this. Quick share on what's happening this week. We're running our Becoming Non-Negotiable workshop off the huge success of the live event at the end of March. We've run a session yesterday. We're running a session on this Thursday, UK time, 1 p.m. It's going to be a 1-hour workshop where we'll help you do the work. Well, we'll go through goals and stretch goals, and how to build in non-negotiable behaviors to support the goals and the values that you've set for yourself. We're in Dubai in 2 weeks. We'll land May the 5th for 3 days wealth mastery event, our Dubai retreat, which is a 3-day immersive coaching intensive for anyone in the UAE or traveling to the UAE who would like to book a last minute ticket. We're available for general public, and not, it was typically exclusive to our Live 100 members, but we decided to open up a few spots for those who are interested in developing the disciplines around wealth. And you'll also learn the disciplines of health and happiness while you're at it. And I think those 3 days, people will learn more in 3 days than they have in 3 years.
Absolutely.
To be able to output 3 years worth of work. It's very 10X style. Intense. That's happening as well. If there's anything else I've forgotten, we've got OTE Live starting on May the 1st. That's a 12-week program that is assisted with coaching on a weekly basis, which is a process, which is a program, which is an A to B, and we'll help you get from A to B in the most efficient way with our support. There's so much going on, Mark. We'll be able to share it in the comments. Yeah. Any last words before we close off today's podcast?
If you've got any questions, head to the website jpdvperformance.com. All the retreat information, all the coaching program information is up on our website. And come and check us out on our Instagram channels.
At jpdvperformance. We're pretty much everywhere at the moment.
Wrap up because I think JP is just about to jump in the Zoom
room. And I've got a 10 o'clock as well. So, mate, that was amazing. Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate you, and looking forward to seeing this live on YouTube very shortly.
Thank you so much, mate.
Thank you, Mark.